SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two, about 15 in, and we get to this juncture on the Monday before Thanksgiving, and for at least 13 years, we have reached this juncture, and we look forward to the next 20-plus minutes or so, and in fact, you know, it is the 155th anniversary today of the delivering of the Gettysburg Address. And Johnny, this your ode to Thanksgiving is sort of like the Gettysburg Address.
Well, I hope I don't get shot.
That was awful. Yeah, okay. well.
I think you're overplaying it, but it's okay. First, a preemptive strike here. If my sources are correct, I want to wish you a happy birthday. I believe it's coming up tomorrow, and I won't be talking to you tomorrow. So I want to wish you a happy birthday today in front of everyone. So you get lots of other good wishes from people.
Thanks so much. It is tomorrow, yes. Thank you.
And you look really, really good for 65.
Easy, easy. Don't jump step. I can't leapfrog you in one bound.
Listen, I enjoy these weeks when the Eagles have a bye.
That's a good line.
They certainly did not show up to the game yesterday. I guess, you know, with social media and all, you think people would be aware. The players at least would have been aware that they had a game, but obviously, I don't know, it didn't work out. But we'll get them next time.
Yeah, the handwriting was on the wall early. I went in the kitchen and cooked.
It was convenient that the game was over early because I had... my niece and nephew were in town, and I was scheduled to go to dinner with them. So I even though you and I had discussed it, it just didn't dawn on me that the game had been moved back to a 4:30 start from a 1 o'clock start. So it was going to conflict with our dinner plans, and I was very upset because I had scheduled this whole thing, and it was a mess. However. You know, it all worked out in the end because by the end of the first quarter, it was pretty apparent that I wasn't going to have to worry about watching the rest of that game.
We were in the same frame of mind.
Yeah. Very often, I'll do this. You know, if a team fails to show up to play, I feel like I don't have to show up to watch them play.
That that's right. Your obligation is exactly.
So great news, Enable coming back. I'm so excited about that. That's great. I look forward to seeing her perform again. And what about the Stronach Five? Little Mark Twain in there. Yeah, the rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated. I thought it was finished. I didn't know it was going to be a continue. I haven't really heard that there's any timeline on it now. It sounds like it's just going to keep going. And well, it should, by the way, based on what happened last Friday.
Well, I was waiting. Yeah, I was waiting for the visit to bring it up. It ended up being a pick four because Golden Gate forced to cancel because of the air quality issue. And I got to be honest, Johnny, it was murkily. the information about it was a little, you know, not apparent as to how it was being, you know, what the dispensation was going to be. And so I kind of when I heard the news on Golden Gate, I wasn't sure immediately if it was going to be an all. It turned out to be an all, but I couldn't find immediately where there was some announcement about how it was going to be handled.
I just assumed it was an all because, you know, in the case of other pick fours or pick fives, like the Saratoga, if it gets rained off, taken off the turf, it becomes an all. And I just assumed it's an all. And then so when I was making out my ticket, I thought, well, geez, if I hit all in the last, I'll have it like 10 times or whatever. But I realized that it would severely impact the cost of my ticket. So I went with a single in the last, which, you know, made sense because I would at least have it once. And I still missed the thing. And there was one stranger, a 16, Laurel, leg three, the ninth race, paid 16.
Yeah, the 7-1.
Yeah, everything else was really, and it was a pick four. And for a buck, it paid over $3,000. Ah, it just shows you what the 12% takeout. I mean, it's an extraordinarily, you know, everybody screams value. This is a value wager. Whatever else is going on with the wager that we may not like, and there are things for sure. You can't argue with the value. This thing is paid unbelievably well. Now, I haven't had it yet, but I'm sure going to keep trying because, wow, you know, that's a pretty good payoff. Anyway, just thought I'd bring that up. And
no, I'm glad you did. I was saving it.
Yeah. So, and then what else is going on? We've got Thanksgiving coming up this week. And I'm so happy it falls on a Thursday because I love when I have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That is, I just love Thanksgiving weekend. Now, we have other holidays that move around, and when they fall on a certain day, it either makes them a lot better or makes them a lot worse. I think this year, what did we have July 4th? I think fell on a Wednesday or something. It was awful. It was like, I don't know. Yeah, it was terrible. But anyway, Thanksgiving, it seems like very often it falls on a Thursday, and you get that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And what you've got racing, horse racing, which we all love as horse players, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You've got stakes races. You've got a different smattering of tracks, too. It's not the, you know, you're kind of in a preparation mode because you got one eye towards Santa Anita, Gulfstream, Big Meat. You know, you kind of have that in your mind. But, you know, you've got Fairgrounds just kind of opened up and Churchill's in the mix. And you've got Gulfstream Park West is still, and you've got Del Mar. I mean, what? You know, this is all a new kind of mishmash, and it's really fun. And this year we'll have the Astronic Five on Friday to further deplete our bankrolls. But it's just a great time for horse racing because it's not Saratoga, it's not Del Mar, it's not Santa Anita Main Big Meet, it's not Gulfstream, it's not Triple Crown, it's not Breeders' Cup. It's just mishmash, like leftovers. Oh, leftovers in addition to horse racing. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thanksgiving leftovers. If there's anything better, I don't know what it is. I do not know what it is. And then you've got football. You've got, you know, the great college games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You've got the pros. And then, you know, this week we get a bonus because we're going to start things off with a crazy three-day carryover on Wednesday at the Aqueduct.
Yep.
Which is wow, you know, what a great way to kick things off. I think But yeah, you package all this up, and it's all most of what I'm talking about is after Thanksgiving. Excuse me, and it just heightens my appreciation for Thanksgiving. But the day itself, the holiday, the meaning behind it, is what I truly love about Thanksgiving. I mean, the meal is something special, and to gather with, you know, family and friends, and we, you know, we all do it differently. We all have different groups of people that arrive in one place to share this wonderful meal. And as I've maintained for years, the turkey is a grossly underrated bird. And once you supplement that with, you know, stuffing and gravy and mashed potatoes and however you do it, green beans or whatever, or pasta, whatever you happen to do around your Thanksgiving meal. A couple of years ago, I sat there and we just finished this wonderful meal. And I said, you know, this is great. Why do we only do this once a year? Sit down, have a wonderful, huge, beautiful meal like this, a big turkey and all the fixings. And my mother-in-law said, because it's a lot of work. That's the meal, and what happens, the leftovers and the days after Thanksgiving are great. But the day itself, the idea behind it, you go back and you talk about where did it start, the Indians and the Pilgrims, and, you know, we get the politically correct. Now, the Pilgrims, they fed the Indians, they shared, then they slaughtered. You know, like for dessert, they slaughtered the Indians. And took their land, and, well, yeah, okay, all right. We weren't around for any of that. We didn't necessarily do it. I know my cousin had nothing to do with that. So I'm taking no blame for that, okay? But that all gets mixed in. So let's look at what it is now. What are we celebrating now? Since there are some clouds over the past, what are we celebrating now? And I think, for me, and I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, for me, this is all personal stuff. Bear with me for a little while. For me, this day is about, and I don't just take this day. Constantly, I am grateful for my life. But this day is a moment that's marked on the calendar, a time to sit down and think about the things that you're grateful for. And I feel almost guilty because I have so much. And my life is so wonderful. Who am I to tell somebody to be grateful for their lives? People have horrible things that happen in their lives. But I think of some of my friends in California who've lost their homes and everything to these terrible fires. And, you know, to hear the desperation. What are they got? How do you begin to recover from that? And for people who've lost loved ones there, that's horrible. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy, and it's ongoing. It's not like it's over now. The tally is continuing to grow. So that's, you know, how can I suggest that they be grateful for something? And yet, you hear the interviews, you see the people who say, you know, we've been so fortunate. It's just a house. Now we've lost all our memorabilia. We've lost all our family photos. But we'll go on. We're grateful we're together. We're alive. You know, so there. I guess my point is, and I'm not preaching, But I'm taking what these people say, who lost a lot, that you can be thankful for some of what's left, or what you have, what you do have. Be happy for that. Number one, I think for all of us, is health. I mean, good health is so important. And without it, it makes everything else so much more difficult. It makes life much more difficult. Good. Grateful for your health. And, you know, what is it they say? It could always be worse. I hate that, but that's what people say. And they're right, but I hate it. But people say it, and it kind of brings you around a little bit. Yeah, it could always be worse. Health is number one, and for me personally, I'm grateful for that, because it's something we don't control our health. We can do things that help, or we think help our health, but we don't control it. It's you know. And so much of all of this, family, friends, job, excuse me, health, life, we have to be grateful for luck. Not Nick, but luck. Because I don't know what you want to call it, fate, you want to call it luck, you want to kismet, whatever you want to call it. We have to be grateful for the times when, you want to call it God's will. There are so many names for it. So many, we've tried to explain it. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Really bad people get lots of good things happen to them. Where does that come from? So we have to kind of accept that this is something that happens in our lives. And I am grateful for what's happened to me. Again, I'm trying to make this as personal as possible. You know, I haven't gotten every break in my life, but I've sure gotten more than my share. I've been so fortunate in so many ways. And in those fortunate ways, I've come into contact with so many wonderful people. And now my entire adult life, my entire adult working life has been in thoroughbred racing, different aspects of it, but always in thoroughbred racing in some way, shape, or form. So it's been my career, and throughout my career, I've been so fortunate to have been around the very best. You know, I don't care what business you're in. There are some people who are just experts and masters at their profession. And I've come into contact with so many masters and so many craftsmen and just the very best that thoroughbred racing has to offer. Mostly on the West Coast, not as much on the East Coast, mostly on the West Coast, because that's where I spent my time. And to be around those people, Charlie Winningham, Bobby Frankel, Gary Jones, Eddie Gregson, Ron McAnally, you know, I remember at Hollywood Park hearing about this crazy guy that was going to run this horse back in a week. He'd won on the turf, and he'd won on the dirt. I may have this wrong, but he won on the turf, and then he was going to run on the dirt, or he won the dirt, and now he's going to run on the turf, and both stakes races, and it was like 7 days apart, and this goofy quarter horse guy, it's not going to work. Well, what does he think he's doing? Dwayne Lucas. Yeah, he figured it out, and he won both stakes races. And he won a lot more after that, too. Then the other crazy quarter horse guy came along. And everybody said, oh, look at this guy. You know, we got another quarter horse guy. Yeah. And the quarter horse thing at Los Al I don't want to say it was looked down upon, but, you know, the thoroughbreds were up here and the quarter horses were below that. But here comes this quarter horse guy, and he's got all these ideas, and he's kind of brash. And sure enough, Bob Baffert figured it out. And so as these two guys, they added to the greats, and they're both unbelievable craftsmen and the best at what they do, and have been the best at what they do. Or among the best, certainly, if you want to be picky. Jockeys. Another trainer, John Goslin. I was fortunate the time he spent in California to be around. That was my time. So I got to be around him. And what a wonderful trainer. What a great guy. What a class act. And it's the only way I can really describe him. Just a solid guy, you know. The jockeys that have been around. You start off with Shoemaker, Pink Eye, McCarran, Delahoussee, Sandy Hawley. And by Pink Eye, I mean the older one, not the younger one, although he's a good guy, too. Frankie Dettori, as a young man, hanging out at Santa Anita, learning his craft. You think he's a character now? When he was 17 or 18, he couldn't sit in one spot for 2 seconds. I mean, he'd be bouncing all around the box seat section at Santa Anita. And then the owners, the people, John Toff and Trudy McCaffrey, Bob and Beverly Lewis. There's so many of them that I can name that even though I may not have been at their house for dinner, I was around them, and they were part of my experience in the racing game. And I'm grateful for all that, experience that I got to enjoy. When we lose people, which it seems like, you and I were talking the other day, it seems like we've lost an unusual number of prominent people this year. And that's, I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a reflection of some of a generation getting older. Maybe we spoke about an owner today, Jerry Frankel, who passed. John Asher, the loss of John Asher. Wonderful guy. Bob Levy, we talked about just the Rick Violet, some wonderful people that we lost this year. I think when you remember them, you say, hey, we're grateful for having them been around and been a part of our industry. I don't know what to call this thing. Is it an industry? Is it a sport? Is it a game? Is it a gambling? it's so many different things to so many different people. And that's what makes it wonderful. The horses make it wonderful. It's not a ball rolling around on a wheel. It's not some card slipping over. It's these beautiful, wonderful thoroughbreds racing. And I've always said that, people said to me, well, why did you get involved in racing? I was always a sports fan, still am, but I was even a bigger all sports fan, and racing was just a little bit of it. When I realized that the thoroughbred is the world's greatest athlete, because he's got unbelievable speed, he's got incredible strength, he's got agility that is remarkable. He's got everything. He's the perfect athlete. Except those legs, they're small to carry that bigger frame. But other than that, he's the perfect athlete, but that's why he's so fast. So when you think about a thoroughbred and you watch thoroughbreds run, or you watch him take a bath, or whatever, when you're around thoroughbreds, you just marvel at this tremendous athlete. and what they can do. And so we watch races for enjoyment, to watch this athlete perform. And then we also watch races to wager on. We like to predict what's going to happen. Just like we watch football, we watch great performances, and we'd also like to cover the spread every once in a while. You know, so that's kind of the beauty of the athlete, plus the gambling, is what attracted me. The colorfulness, the outdoors element is what attracted me to the game originally. And through my working career, I was so fortunate to be around all these people, all these wonderful, wonderful people through the years. And look, I know I'm forgetting a bunch of people along the way. Gary Stevens, I mean, you know, I started my professional career about the same time Gary Stevens was a Bug Boy. So we kind of, you know, came up, well, our professional careers kind of ran together. You know, I'm older than Gary, but we kind of, our professional, I was finished college working at the track, and we just come down from the Northwest, and, you know, so our professional careers kind of mirrored each other. To have my professional career, to have technology enter the scene, and then for me to see it and say, you know, You Bet was the company that was starting, and Jeff Franklin said to me, it was a fellow agent at the time, said to me, you've got to come take a look at this and what these guys are doing. And I went and I looked at it and I was amazed. I said, this is incredible. And to see where that has gone, what technology has meant to thoroughbred racing. It's like being around for the Industrial Revolution, as far as what technology has meant to thoroughbred racing. Now, some people would say, oh, it killed it. It killed the on-track crowd. Nobody goes to the races anymore. That's not true. That slide had begun already. Simulcasting, the lottery, first the lottery stuck a knife and then twisted it. And then the OTBs and simulcasting. And the ADW may have saved racing more than it hurt it. I don't know. That argument can go on for a long time. But technology, you're not going to stop technology. And so to be a part of when that began and when that moved forward, and now to have been, I mean, it's crazy. It's been over. It's been like 25 years, roughly. You know, between 20, 25 years, somewhere in that period, that I've been a part of ADW wagering on all kinds of horse racing. And now, look, the international scene and what you can get on your telephone now is absolutely incredible. So I'm grateful for all that all those wonderful people and experiences and for being alive in the technology, when technology moved into this sport. And look at what we can do now. Your show. This is not a regular radio show. It's a podcast. It's a Sirius XM satellite radio. All these things are all part of technology. And look at the stuff we can access now. It's just absolutely incredible. Have negative things come along with it? Absolutely. Positively, you know, there's so much good. So much good. People connecting with each other. I'm also so happy to be a part of an age where the horse player has now become, has come out of the shadows. You know, you have horse players on your show, and they're very intelligent people. In fact, some of them are geniuses that play this game, wager on this game, and they understand it. And the amount of information and explanation that the public can now get from professional players is incredible. The tournaments have brought horse players out of the cigar chomping back room, whatever. It's a different age now, and these guys are they're intelligent people, and they're family men. They're not, this is their job. This is what they do. So I'm happy to see that too. We have our challenges, no doubt about it. Aftercare, medication, use of a whip, takeout, get wager types. Are we killing our horse players? Challenges from sports wagering. We have lots of issues. No simple answers, but every business has challenges. Everyone, even the NFL, they're staying up at night trying to, as big and strong and powerful and massive as they are, they've got challenges. So let's just work at it. And we've made advances in these areas. So I'm thankful for that, that there are people working on these issues. So I'm going to wind it up here because I know I've gone on long enough. I'm thankful for my family, for my for my three wives. They all taught me different things. My current wife, when I'm going to bring this full circle now. My current wife, we've been together 20 years now. Well, soon, a couple of months, it'll be 20 years. And meeting her was such a stroke of luck, such a stroke of kismet, of God's will, of fortune, of whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure. I don't know what's right. But whatever you want to call it, you got to get lucky. And I got lucky. They say the harder you work, the luckier you get. And there's truth in that. Don't discount that. There's truth in that. But I know a lot of people who work hard and don't get lucky. So you've got to get lucky, too, and respect hard work and respect luck and realize what a role it plays in your life and be grateful for the good bounces that you've gotten. And overcome the ones that haven't gone your way. Because if you keep showing up, those photos will start to go your way. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Johnny is always eloquent and much appreciated and hitting all the right notes along the way. It's one of the most enjoyable and anticipated visits of the year for good reason. And for you and Gail and all the far-flung relations. I hope it's a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we're always thankful for your friendship and ongoing support and contributions, and always love starting the week. You're the regular that kicks off every week on this show and has for over 13 years. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Tina and my entire family. And I know I'm full of hot air, but I'm not as full of hot air now as I was a half hour ago.
Johnny D, everybody. XB Johnny D. And if you're not following, you should. And we will look forward to recapping some of the action. It's going to be a big weekend, obviously, big week. And Johnny, enjoy. And we'll catch up next week. Thank you, buddy.
Stevie, thank you. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks. John DeSantis, everybody. Been in the game from day one. They sent him out to California to play baseball at Occidental, and it was a happy Occident. He ended up staying out there for over 30 years, and his role starting out as a jock agent and bon vivant, and here he is all these years later, back in his hometown, and just one of the beloved people around the game. Take a break here, and when we come back, Matt Hegarty has been standing by, and we'll talk to Matt to get his take on what went on Friday at KHRC, this Oak Grove Casino with a standard bred track attached to it. And we'll get his thoughts on the hard news of the last several weeks. Matt Hegarty, Daily Racing Forum, after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary.
Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.